Stanton with a drive out to left center field. And just like that, the Yankees have jumped in front. 2-0 New York. Had there been fans in the ballpark, it was a guy that bought the worst seat that would have gotten that souvenir.
Baseball back, but for how long? We shall see. Last night, Major League Baseball action as Giancarlo Stanton with a two-run homer early in the ball game against Max Scherzer. Gerrit Cole pitched well, the big acquisition in offseason for the Yankees. Yankees beat the Nationals, game called in six innings due to rain. 4-1 was the final. And the Dodgers beat the Giants last night 8-1. Some observations about baseball starting last night. First of all, wondered how things are going to be handled in regards to the anthem. There was a very coordinated pregame ceremony before the first pitch at Nationals Park last night between the Yankees and the Nationals. And following a recorded narration by actor Morgan Freeman, both teams held a 200-yard black fabric as a sign of unity and then all knelt on one knee for a prolonged moment of silence. That was before the anthem. And then once they stood up, the anthem was performed. Dr. Fauci, Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, was the ceremonial first pitch thrower, and let's just say it did not go well. His pitch was, did you see the pitch?
I did.
Yikes. So it was really, really way off, but it's okay. Nobody was there to see it except all the people on TV watching the opening of the season, but there was nobody in the stands to see it because there are no fans, which was awkward. The Dodgers-Giants game, cardboard cutouts behind home plate, but not across the rest of the stadium. Clayton Kershaw scratched from the start last night with a back issue. It seems like he always has back problems. And, you know, going back to the kneeling, listen, that's the thing that I've been talking about for years. We talked about this when Colin Kaepernick did what he did. It's like, why couldn't you do this right before the anthem, right after the anthem? Mm-hmm. Or if you want to go to midfield and you do the coin toss, and as a captain, you can take a knee then. You know, I mean, that would at least it wouldn't be during the anthem. That's where people felt like it was disrespectful. And we've talked about that ad nauseum. And to me, that's the way to do it. I mean, everybody was watching. It was the cameras were on it.
Yeah.
You got to make your point and make your stance last night with all the players in unity, which I thought was good. And then you stand up for the anthem. Why can't we make more than just one side happy? I think that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't add a lot to that because that's something we've been talking about. Is where do you find somewhere different other than the anthem to do it? And you know, obviously they found a way to do that and make sure everybody knew what their point was.
But here's the thing. If TV stations stop and ESPN and everything else, if they stop showing what happens before the anthem or stop what showing happens right after the anthem, then the players will have to start kneeling on the anthem. Have to, but that'll be their way
that's
to get attention
their spot
to it.
To do it, yeah.
So part of that falls on the TV stations, too,
and
networks.
And I don't know. Baseball's not a normal sport that even shows the anthem on TV anyway. Typically.
Yeah,
I mean,
typically.
They do for the first
typically
game.
They don't.
Typically for the first
the
game, they show the
postseason sometimes. All-star game, I think they might. But, yeah, they don't usually. That's very
true.
Yeah,
I mean, you do that for World Series and things like that, for sure. They keep it there, but.
Right. Also, a big story yesterday is Juan Soto, outstanding player for the Nationals, big part of them winning the World Series last year. He's a up-and-coming rising superstar. He tested positive for COVID-19 yesterday was when the test came, the result. And some people said, hey, are they going to call the game? That would have been just about right, wouldn't it, for 2020, mm-hmm. right before the game called off? But the Yankees said, no, we're good to go, and they'll all get tested again, and we'll see if the Nationals are affected because Soto was with the team just a couple days ago. So there are going to be all kinds of infections or positive cases for the Nationals, and then you get to the point where, here we go, do we have to forfeit a game? We don't have enough guys. If the guy's got to be in quarantine, are they going to have to be in quarantine? Are there exceptions for athletes? We shall see.
Yes.
We shall see. Opening day today for everybody else, Braves at the Mets. The Tigers are at the Reds. The Blue Jays at the Rays. The Marlins are at the Phillies. The Royals open up season 6-10 tonight. Danny Duffy on the hill against Shane Bieber, Justin Bieber's brother. If you believe that, you're very gullible. Royals at the Indians tonight. Brewers at the Cubs. Orioles at the Red Sox. Rockies at the Rangers. The White Sox host the Twins. The Pirates are at the Cardinals. The D-backs are at the Padres. The Mariners at the Astros. The Giants at the Dodgers for their second game of the year. And the Angels will be at the Athletics. The Royals getting underway tonight. And Mike Matheny, the manager of the Royals, very sharp individual, has his pulse on what's wrong with his team.
I think a lot of times they see some guys they know as an opposition and pretty good players that they feel they've got to turn it up, make perfect pitches, but it's running them into bad counts and then bad things happen. So the free bases, we've been talking about this since day one, and we're very clear with the pitching staff. You want to be a part of what we're doing here. We can't afford to give them up, whether obviously that's putting them on base to begin with, and then that turns into also what we do once they get on base about giving free bags up. So it's the same story. You know, some of these guys, it's their first time facing a different opponent, not wearing a blue jersey since we were in a surprise. Is there something to that? Yep. But there's just also something to maintaining the message of, guys, we got to pound the strike zone.
So starting pitching. Yep. And a shortened season will be even more important. The Royals do not have a lot of good starting pitching, it does not appear. In fact, they're going to go with a kid they drafted just 2 years ago as their starter tomorrow, who after today's game, he will be activated. He's not on the 30-man roster right now. The Royals did go with right-hander Tyler Zuber in the bullpen, super utility man Eric Amezia as a roster addition as part of the 30-man roster. They did purchase contracts of reliever Greg Holland and catcher Oscar Hernandez. That bolsters a thin catching core. The Royals had some open spots. Hunter Dozier, Brad Keller, Ryan O'Hearn, Jacob Junis, and Cam Gallagher, all on the IL due to positive COVID-19-related issues, which has temporarily cleared spots on the 40-man roster as well. And as I said, Brady Singer will make his Major League debut tomorrow. He'll be added to the roster after tonight's game. And the Royals starting rotation, Danny Duffy, Brady Singer. Yeah, I don't know after that. Mike Montgomery, I would guess. And then I don't know. I don't know. Jorge Lopez has not been good. Glenn Sparkman, who I'd never have thought he's the answer. Franchi Cordero makes the team, who they traded with the Padres. Gordon, Merrifield, Starling, Phillips, and Soler are the outfielders. And, Ryan McBrugham would be your first baseman tonight because O'Hearn is on the IL with the COVID-19. So we'll see what happens with the Royals. But I don't know. I'm not too optimistic what the Royals are going to do this year. So let's and to give you an idea of how desperate the Royals are right now, they're trying to work out a minor league deal with Matt Harvey.
Yeah.
Matt Harvey, if you remember him, he was an ace. If the Royals could get him like he was in 2015, then they'd have something. Matt Harvey, of course, pitched game one of the World Series against the Royals. First pitch was Escobar hit for an inside-the-park homer. Remember that?
Yes.
And Harvey pitched pretty well game one. Royals won. And then, of course, the game five, where he was dominant for 8 innings, and he somehow convinced his manager to go back out for the 9th, and the Royals rallied and tied it, sent extra innings and won. That Matt Harvey could be a Royal. Sounds like he's going to be. And he had ERA over 7 with the Reds last year. So that tells me, once again, small market team hoping to catch lightning in a bottle. And to me, it is a desperate move.
Yeah.
Desperate move.
It's
now,
a very typical Royals
move. It is a typical Royals move. Get a guy out the scrap heap. Hope he, you know, like, hope he does a Jose Lima and is great for one season, like in 2003 from the Independent League. Matt Harvey looks like he's going to be a Royal, whether or not he's going to pitch. I bet you he will. He'll be on this roster at some point this year, pitching
probably
or starting.
So.
And I don't know if that'll be good or bad. All right, so prediction for the Royals, 60-game season. 60-game season. And there's a new playoff format that has been approved by Major League Baseball where 16 teams will be allowed to participate in the postseason. Now, why in the world would they expand to 16 teams? You want to know the real reason? Money!
Yeah.
Money, money, money! Money! Yes, it's money. Players are guaranteed, for instead of $25 million, $50 million. The owners at Major League Baseball changed that, doubled it. So the player's like, oh, okay, that sounds good. So here's the deal. 8 teams from the American League will make the playoffs. 8 teams from the National League. There are 30 teams in baseball, which means over 50% of the teams will make the playoffs. I have never been a fan of that. I know the NBA has basically half of theirs. I love the NFL. I don't think the NFL should have expanded their playoffs at all. I love that 2 teams get a bye on each conference. Now only one will get it. But it's all about money, extra playoff games. I get the nature of the beast. But for me, the NFL was the best. You had 12. That was about 33%. You don't need 30 to 40% of your teams make the playoffs. That's plenty. I think the NBA, when you have losing teams make the playoffs, as has happened in the past, Major League Baseball even now has had teams with losing records. When division, they make the playoffs in a weak division. I don't like it. It's supposed to be just a one-year thing. I think you're going to see it expanded from 10 to maybe 12 next year. I think it part of this will stick around. And I kind of like the sudden death one-game wild card, and part of me doesn't like it. But here's how they're going to set this thing up. They're going to have wild card series. So instead of a sudden death wild card game with the division winners resting, the format will be as follows. Wild card series, best of three. So there is no one-game sudden death. A best of three series with all three of the games at the higher seed's home ballpark. One seed versus the eight, two versus seven, three versus six, four versus five. You get it. Division series, best of five, traditional 2-2-1 home road format. And then the league championship series will be the seven-game series, 2-3-2 format. And then the World Series, the exact same thing. So your thoughts on the Major League Baseball expanding their postseason. If you're a fan of a team like the Royals, you should be saying yay. But I also sit there going, there's a chance, there is a possibility that a fourth-place team or a division can make the playoffs. There is a chance for that.
Yeah.
They're going to take the top two teams from every division and then the best records after that. So you could have, you know, a stacked AL East. Blue Jays could be the fourth-best team out of five, and they got a good enough record to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of it, just the number of teams that are going to be in there. I know there's extenuating circumstances. Like you said, money is the biggest thing on there. It does leave an opening for, like, if there's a really good team that maybe doesn't get off to the greatest start in the world.
It allows them
what we're talking about. It allows them to maybe be a better team in the playoffs than what their record might show.
And let's point this out in case you missed yesterday. The Nationals had the third worst record in baseball after 60 games last year. So if this format was applied last year, the Nationals still wouldn't have made the playoffs, by the way.
No.
But that was a benefit of a 162-game season, a marathon instead of a sprint. Now we got a sprint with 60 games. So that is part of the thinking is we just for 1 year only, that gives us a better chance of, you know, let's say the Yankees got a slow start.
Yeah.
We still get them in there for those TV ratings, you know?
Yeah. And I think that means as much as
as
the money does from that aspect of it, because the money
it goes hand in hand.
Yeah, better if the Yankees are in there than if they're not. So I don't think we need to worry about the Yankees not being one of those 16 or eight teams from the American League that'll be in.
Right.
But you know, it is there just in case that does happen, where a team gets off to a slow start, but they're a really good team and might make some noise in the playoffs, even if they're the seventh seed.
So how will the teams be seeded with the new Major League Baseball playoff format? Well, the top three seeds in each league will go to the three division winners, the East, Central, and West division winners in order of record. The next three seeds will go to the three teams that finish in second place. So you could have a second-place team that has a worse record than a third-place team in another division, which, you know, whatever. And then the final two seeds go to the two teams with the next best records, which could possibly be third and fourth place out of the American League East or the AL West or the Central, whatever. What if there's a tie for a division championship or other postseason spot at the conclusion of regular season? All ties will be resolved mathematically. No additional games will be played to break the ties. So it'll be head-to-head. If that's also a tie, the next tiebreaker is intra-division record. If that's still a tie, the next record is the final 20 division games plus one until the tie is broken. So it'll be no play-in game or, shall I say, two teams tied for the last wildcard spot, they're going to have one game to decide. It's all going to be mathematically figured out. Could the division series, we're talking about first round of the playoffs, but then the division series is the next round of the playoffs in this format. So the division series, could it technically feature zero division winners? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is very possible. You could have second place, third place teams playing each other and division winners completely out, which is weird. Will the higher seed be the true home team for all three games of wild card series? Yes. And will they use this in the future? It's only in effect for now, but could be negotiated in the future. The three-game best of three wild card series would begin the playoffs starting Tuesday, September 29th. And there you have it. ESPN will be broadcasting the expanded wild card round, seven of the eight series. TBS will have the other one. So, the Royals have a mathematical, much better chance of making the playoffs. Having said that, the format's been widened now to 16 teams. Over 50% of Major League Baseball teams will make the playoffs this season. Will the Royals be one of those teams to make the playoffs this year? Yes or no?
I'm going to say no right now.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Okay. Record for the Royals, 60 games they play, hopefully. What's your record for the Royals?
It's so hard to do that. 18-42.
Is that really?
I just really don't think like they're going to be. I don't even know if they're going to get to 20 or not.
Wow, and I thought mine was low. Yours is even lower than mine. I thought mine was going to be the low one.
If they get some guys healthy and have some pitching, maybe. But
that's a lot of ifs.
It's so much right now that's you can't win without pitch. I don't care how good your offense is going to be.
You're going to miss two of your five starting pitchers of a starting rotation that isn't even that good. You're going to miss 40% of your rotation for the first three, maybe 4 weeks of the season, and you're only playing basically a couple months of a season. Yeah. And on top of that, you've got other guys like Dozier's missing a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean.
And who knows who else is going to get this. And granted, this could happen to other teams as well. The Royals are already shorthanded. We haven't even played a game yet of the season, and they're already talking to Matt Harvey. 18-42, maybe that's probably the better way to go. Maybe I'm more optimistic. I actually thought I was being pessimistic. I wrote down 23-37, which is not good. I mean, that's basically you're winning one out of every three games, just barely over that. That's about a 36 winning percentage. That's what I've got, 23-37. You got 18-42.
I just don't know how they're going to get to 20 wins for me.
Yeah, and I don't know if the bullpen's even that good if they have a lead going there either.
I don't think it is.
Like, I think their pitching's not good at all.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can win with bad pitching. You just can't. And the Royals' offense isn't that good, and their ballpark isn't conducive to hitting a whole bunch of home runs, scoring a ton of runs.
You know, I'm not inherently a pessimistic guy.
No, you're not.
It's like I'm going to try to do the best I can to make it
at
least feel like there's something there. But maybe I'm putting too much stock into what I've seen here in the COVID tests that are positive and people that aren't on the team, but I just feel like that's going to be a big part of it.
No, I agree with you. Well, it's already happened. Juan Soto tests positive. That changes everything for the Nationals. He's their best hitter. The Blue Jays continuing their search for a home ballpark. Yes, day two of the season, they don't have a place to play their home games. Now they might share with a division rival, the Baltimore Orioles. According to a report from The Athletic, they're working out the issues, and now it's all about, of course, guess what? Talking to the government of Maryland to say, hey, can we let the Blue Jays do this too? I mean, if they say no, where the Blue Jays are going,
they need
they
to find a minor league park
to
host
them. I agree.
Because it's not smart for any team.
Omaha would be a great one. It's
Omaha
sitting there waiting.
And they're talking about it, too.
Oh, Kevin Kugler's first one to throw that out there before this all started, even.
They have everything that they need in Omaha.
Yeah.
The stadium, especially when there's no fans. You know, like, it's not like you need a big stadium for a lot of fans, either.
No.
And you need to have one that has all the dimensions the right way for a major league park. I get that, but I just don't feel like it's smart for any state to be like, yeah, let's have two teams share in one facility.
I agree with you. I know.
I don't understand why that's even an option, to be completely honest.
Well, I just think they're thinking they got to be a major league park, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing.
I guess. All right, so let's shift to the Pee Wee baseball players. There was a couple of great semifinals last night. Smith Center winning 5-4 the Beloit Hornets. They played three times this year, the Smith Center Chiefs and Beloit Hornets, and every game was a one-run game.
Wow.
The first time, Beloit won by one, and the second time, it was 1-0. Smith Center won, I was told. First time was 3-2, Beloit won. And then last night, of course, what do you know, came down the wire, 5-4. So Beloit will play for third. Smith Center Chiefs will play for the championship, and the winner will play.
The Concordia Lions won six innings, one-run game last night, 7-6 over Washington. So it's, Smith Center Chiefs against the Concordia Lions. That'll be 8:30 approximately tonight. The first game is that third-place game between the Beloit Hornets and Washington at 7. So
that's games in Concordia.
Championship, at Meyer Field there in Concordia.
K-18 starts tomorrow there in Lucas.
Yeah, they start tomorrow. Smith Center's really our only area team that's in the tournament. They play at approximately 3 o'clock tomorrow against Norton. First game's Clay Center against Ellis at 10. Goodland against Washington around 12:30 tomorrow. And then, as we mentioned, Norton Smith Center about 3. And Clifton Clyde will play Joaquin about 5:30 tomorrow night there in Lucas. So full bracket there is posted at ncksports.com, as is the updated Pee Wee State Tournament bracket.
All right, yet to come here on the sports ticket, NASCAR returning to Kansas. We'll hear from Denny Hamlin. Football team in the National Football League has a new team name, and NFL continues its negotiations. There's a new team in the NHL, and a boxer returning to the ring. But right now, we focus on the Kansas State High School Activity Association. Yesterday, Brent Maycock, who covers sports for the Pika Capital Journal, was our guest. He's been following this very closely, as you probably are aware of by now. But in case you aren't, quick summary. Kansas Department of Education, or Kansas Board of Education, did not affirm Governor Kelly's order for all schools to start after Labor Day. Thus, Keisha then had a chance to know a little bit of the lay of the land. And Keisha now is sending out surveys to superintendents, pretty simple surveys, wanting to find out what's going on before they make a determination on whether they're going to start practices August 17th for across the state, or if they'll back it up or change that timeline. Rem Haycock joined us yesterday. You can hear that full interview on our podcast page, Sports Ticket podcast page, at our website, kdcountry94.com. And Brent tells us how Acacia may move forward.
I don't know what exactly we're going to see. I think you could see a thing where they could move forward with Pacific Sports and some other sports get an adjustment made to it. I think you could see 2 weeks of football season possibly lost as we try to accommodate the schools at are starting after Labor Day. You may just go right into district play and eliminate those first couple of weeks as schools try to get the conditioning and practices in that are necessary to start competitions. I think football is kind of a different animal than all the rest of them. So I think you could see golf, tennis, cross country, volleyball, you know, hey, you guys can proceed as normal. We don't have great concerns about the contact there. Football, we might have a little bit more concerns about, you know, the proximity of athletes to each other in those sports, and we may have to re-evaluate those. So I still think there's just a lot of uncertainty because there's just still a lot of uncertainty on what the state's going to look like in a month.
All right, so Executive Director of Acacia, Bill Faflick, he was on 580 WIBW, and he was asked yesterday, among the things, is what's the survey going to look like that they're sending out, Acacia, to the superintendents across the state of Kansas?
It's a very simple survey, just asking schools when they're starting. You know, the governor had intended to have schools start a little bit later to provide additional time for school staff to prepare, to help provide additional opportunity for that curve to flatten and for cases to be diminished, and really for that preparation to take place. And state school board said, let's go to local control. We're going to have school districts decide, just like they've always done, what their start date, end date would be, what vacation days, et cetera. So it really became a local control issue. So what that means now is, you know, our board is back to, do we start on August 17th, which is our scheduled practice date to begin, which is about 3.5 weeks from now, or should we move it back to be more consistent? So that survey is just simply asking school districts, when do they start?
Pretty simple survey. I mean, that'd be too complicated. Yeah. And if you have 75% of schools saying, hey, we want to start before Labor Day, I think Kish is going to back it up only, I think, no more than a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe. I don't think they're going to go any later than August 24th. I may be wrong. I think they really want to just stick with August 17th. That'd make everything very easy.
Yeah.
But you have schools. Wichita schools announced yesterday they're going to start after Labor Day. You've got Shawnee Mission, one of their school districts, and Blue Valley, and bigger ones in Kansas City. Basically, these schools I'm talking about right now, 19% of the school population,
mm-hmm.
which is one-fifth, are starting after Labor Day. So even though there'll be many more school districts that are going to start well before Labor Day, more than likely across the state of Kansas, those represent the big portion of enrollment in the state. So are we going to have practices August 17th, basically almost 3 weeks before school starts for those schools? Are they going to choose to have practice that early or say, hey, okay, Acacia says August 17th, but you know what? We've got a lot of cases here in Johnson County or whatever, or Sedgwick County. We ain't going to allow practices until August 27th, August 24th, August 31st. So that's going to be a bit of a dilemma, yeah. I think. And for Acacia, I think there's a chance that they could very well do what Brent says, eliminate a week or two of the football season or no activities until school's underway. I talked to an administrator yesterday, and this person told me that we are getting so stuck on the sports side of things. What about just getting the kids acclimated back to school? That they're going to be out of school now for 6 months once they, if they come back. Let's just go ahead and wait till after Labor Day, okay? Let's allow the school districts to get everything organized, because there's some that are scrambling right now. Go ahead and allow the school districts to get organized. And if schools want to start August 24th or whenever, they want to start earlier, fine. But let's go ahead and get the kids acclimated, get ready for everything. And once all the schools are acclimated, then let's go ahead and maybe the first week after Labor Day, let's say hypothetically kids go back on that Tuesday after Labor Day. They have 4 days of school. No practices. And then you start practice on that Monday. One, you have a better idea if things are going to work in the school situation. And you start practices after that. And you don't start competitions until basically around, you know, end of September, first week of October. Does that shorten your sports season? Yes. But this person was telling me, well, you know, education is kind of wasn't that supposed to be the top priority? Mm-hmm. And I think there is some merit to that. I really do, because we've talked about it before, and Brent Maycock is with us yesterday, as we said, and he talked about how it was weird when he came to Kansas back in the day, where he used to be at Branson, Missouri, where you come to Kansas and it was not as, you know, like in Branson, Missouri and other places, you'd have 2 weeks of practice before you even had school. So kids get acclimated to practice and then they, you know, get school into the equation. Whereas in the state of Kansas, in many situations, you have practices for maybe a couple of days and then you go to school and then coaches want you to practice twice a day. So it's like, and here's how it goes. So we're going to practice from 6:30 to 8 a.m. or 6 to 8 a.m. Kids got to get up really early, right? Mm-hmm. They get to school. So as soon as practice is over, now, it might, and the good thing is it'll be cooler if you're playing outside in football. It'll still be hot if you're doing volleyball 2 days. So you go to practice 6 to 8 a.m. or 6:30 to 8 a.m. And now you're going to have to shower, okay, because you don't want to smell and stink in school. Well, at least I wouldn't hope. Then you go into school. Then you're supposed to study and pay attention, not fall asleep. You're supposed to go do school from 8 to about 3:30. And then guess what happens? You have another practice. Now, sometimes that second, that two a day is right after school. Or in some cases, coaches will say, let's do a practice like 6:30 to 8:30 in the evening or 7 to 9 or 6 to 8, whatever, where maybe it's a little bit cooler. You got to deal with warm weather conditions. Mm-hmm. Now, think about that for a second. So let's say Monday. Let's just hypothetically say this coming Monday, school and two a days. All right, for football. Let's use football as an example. So here's what you're asking 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. And I'm saying kids. They're not adults yet. Well, some people say, well, above 16, you're a young adult, whatever. So Monday, let's say they started practice yesterday. So they had two-a-days yesterday, two-a-days today, and then Monday they start school. So Monday, you got to get up at 5:30. Or depend. Let's just say practice. Let's just say practice 6:30 to 8. Okay, so you gotta get up probably 5:45, depending if you gotta drive in for this or not, or your parents gotta bring you into school for practice. So, and we're talking 2 a days. So then you go to school from 8 to 3:30, and then you might have to practice right after school, and you go to probably 6 o'clock, and then you finally get to go home. That's a 12-hour shift.
Yeah,
that's a 12-hour shift, and everybody's demanding stuff out of you, aren't they? They're demanding you to run. They're demanding you to do this. You're demanding you to do this. And then in school, they want, and then, hey, Johnny, why aren't you paying attention in the back of class? You can't be sleeping in here. I've had 5 straight days of getting up at 5:30 to 2 a days. And then I got home last night at 9 o'clock because we had our second 2 a day at, from 7 to 9, which, you know, there's a 2-hour break there, I guess, to take a nap, which kids don't usually use.
No.
So it is interesting that there's this weird thing in the state with some people that you can't have practices until you start school. I would argue that you should do one or the other. You should either have school for a week before you implement practices, or you have practices a few weeks before school starts and then implement school. One way or the other.
Yeah.
But everything happening about the same time doesn't really seem to make sense to me. And I've heard this argument from school districts. Like, I go, why don't you start your first week of school on Monday? Well, we want to get the kids acclimated, you know, and get used to the schedule. So they'll start, some start on a Friday, which I don't get that one at all.
No.
But some will start, a lot of them will start on a Wednesday or a Thursday. So they're worried about getting kids acclimated to school. But yet practices started on Monday. So it's somewhat counterproductive in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
Practices start on Monday, so the timeline works out and they get enough of them in by first Friday football.
Yeah.
I think that's mostly the thinking on that.
Yes, is that, well, get whether, practices and then you try to squeeze in school then at the end of the week so they get used to it. That's true to a point.
Yeah.
But how about instead of, because I'm going to give you an example. If things stay the way they are right now, Acacia, right now, practices are slated to start August 17th. Concordia, their school district just announced yesterday they're moving back school from August 11th, which, by the way, is too early, to August 19th. They're backing up 8 days. They're not waiting until after Labor Day, but they're backing up 8 days. So Concordia, here's their situation. I don't have the calendar flipped to August, so I can't look at it, but Monday is August 17th is a Monday.
Yeah.
So in the situation in Concordia, they'll probably have 3 days of two-a-days. No, they'll have 2 days of two-a-days. And then they're going to go to school on Wednesday. So you only have 2 days to get get back into the practice swing of things, and then, boom, school's put upon you. Now, I'm not criticizing Concordia for doing it that way, because a lot of schools do. A lot of districts do.
Yeah.
So I get it. I could argue that you should maybe, in this situation, start school August 26th, and then the kids have a week and a half. Have a full week of practices before you start implementing school. But I understand there's a lot of moving parts, so I'm not trying to be critical at all. It's just something I'm pointing out, and many school districts do that, where, oh, hey, practice start. Some situations, obviously this year, like Beloit originally was going to start August 13th, Concordia was going to start August 11th. They're going to be in school before practices start, which I'm okay with that because you get acclimated to school before practice start. The problem I have is, why do you have to do it so damn early? Why do you have to have school on August 11th or 13th? Why so early? Well, what happens is the teachers, you know, in some school districts, they want tons of in-service days. They want work days. They want a full week of spring break. They want, you know, maybe a bigger Christmas break or whatever. And it's like, man, I always joke with my kids, like, do you guys ever have a five-day week? I always make that joke with my kids. I'm like, what, you have another in-service day? You have this? No, that's what the teachers in the school district decide. And that's fine. I'm just sitting here going, well, I, you know, for me personally, if I had a vote, this is what I would say. If I were a student, I would want more of my summer, and I would give me more time for my family to take a vacation, because guess what? There's lots of things going on. We have basically 1 week to take a vacation every summer.
Yeah.
Now, if school would start after Labor Day, we would have more time to get in a vacation, to have those memories as a family vacation. Right?
Yes.
So that's why I was a proponent of starting school after Labor Day, because I feel like that's how it should have been all along. Yes. I've always felt that way. Like, you shouldn't start anything till at least the very last week of August. It's just every year it gets earlier and earlier, and yet you look at the end of the school year, it's just as late. It might be a few days shorter than the previous year, but many times it's like we start earlier and earlier, but yet we still end May 22nd. Well, last year was May 21st. Now we're May 22nd, but we started 2 days earlier. How's that possible? Oh, we got more in-service days, or we've got a bigger spring break or whatever. And every school district can do whatever way they want. It just seems like it just seems to get a little bit, just a little bit, a day earlier every summer. And once you get through 5 years, guess what? You're a week earlier. And then your summer's shortened. And so, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong at all if this is the way to decide it. I don't think there's anything wrong at all. If schools want to start after Labor Day and practices start August 17th, what's wrong with that? So Bill Faflick, to get to the point here, Bill Faflick, Executive Director of Acacia, there has been this misconception, as I stated yesterday, and if people just actually stop and think before being lemmings, stop and think, put on their thinking cap, schools always have had the discretion to start whenever they want, whether it's early August or after Labor Day. They've always been able to do that, and practices always have a set time to start, and there are schools that have a week of practice or 2 weeks before school starts, and there's other schools that have a week of school before they even start practices. There's a wide gamut, and Bill Faflick explains, hey, you don't have to be in school. You don't have to be in session to practice athletics.
If all of the school districts across Kansas are starting on September 9th, then we will consider moving back to start a practice. So we don't have to have school in session. We just know it needs to be starting soon in order for practices to begin. We've many years had practice beginning prior to the start of school. And I'm an old school guy. It used to be when we didn't have air conditioning in all the classrooms in the Wichita district, where I was a math teacher and a cross country coach in the fall. We would start practice 2 weeks prior to the start of school itself resuming, and never was an issue then. And this is a unique time. We want to remain true to having student athletes. So we need to know school is going to begin. If we start practices a few days prior to that, I think we'll be okay. So we're just getting a sense of when does school start across the state of Kansas.
My Lord, am I the same age as Bill Faflick? Because Bill Faflick said the same thing I said yesterday, didn't he? You know, back in my day, you know, we had a week or two of practices before we started school.
But he was talking about being a teacher, not a student. Though,
okay.
So.
All right. Well, I've never been a teacher. You don't want me being
back
a teacher.
Back in his day as a teacher, they didn't have air conditioning. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's a little bit older than us.
Thank you. Dusty, thank you. You just made me
feel a little bit younger.
Just made me feel a little bit younger. Thank you. Thank you very much. I can go to bed tonight and sleep well, knowing that. But there is no rule that says you can only have so many practices before school starts.
No.
There's no rule that says you can't have an athletic competition before school starts. None of those things exist, but yet people want to, you know, grab them out of thin air and call it a fact, and it's not. So if schools in Kansas City and Wichita want to start after Labor Day, and let's say 60 to 75% of school districts across the rest of the state, especially the smaller school districts and rural school districts, they all are going to start, say, August 24th or August 19th for Concordia, or August 23rd or 27th, or whatever it's going to be. It's sometime in August. And Keisha still wants to have practices start August 17th. I don't see a big problem with it myself. I really don't. And if that means that Wichita and Kansas City and Topeka have got to make a decision on, well, okay, now we individually, locally, got to figure out if, all right, Keisha's allowing practice August 17th, but we're going to put our foot down and say, hey, no. We've got a lot worse situation here than they do in the rural areas, so we're not going to allow practices until August 24th. Is that a competitive disadvantage if you're going to start the season all at the same time? Yes, it is. But what's more important, a competitive advantage or safety? Yeah. That's, I think, eventually what you have to do. This is the concern I have with Keisha, and this is why they are in a very difficult spot. And they're damned if they do and damned if they don't. Because, and that's the way with school administrators. If they decide to start after Labor Day, people will criticize them. If schools decide to start August 19th, people will criticize them. It's too soon. If we're going to have sports, people, they're going to be criticized. If people decide not to have sports, people that want sports are going to criticize. It doesn't matter what Keisha or school administrators, local school districts do, school boards of education, it don't matter. People are going to be complaining. This is the way it works, and it's going to be even more so. And just to prove that fact, the Kansas State Board of Education was split 5-5 when they voted on this whole thing the other day. So then that's how our country is, right? Yeah. Right down the middle, 50-50. There is no middle ground. It's left or right, apparently, which is so sad. So when you look at that, you know, I hope Keisha doesn't move everything to cater to 19% of the student population in those big urban areas. You see where I'm going with that? I hope they don't. I hope they say, listen, other places don't have the problems or as many problems as those big population areas. So let's go ahead and give them the leeway to start when they want to start. Now, if it happens to be there's a 4A school from, you know, I think Bishop Miege will be all right if they get 1 week later practice. I'm just going to go out there and say that. Mm. I think they'll be okay with one less week of practice. And but, oh, my God, we might play Ulysses, and they start August 17th. Wah, you know? But if you really think it's that big a deal, then you know what you should do? You should just go ahead and, you know, not play your first football game of the year if you want so much practice time. And that's easy for me to say. There are a lot of moving parts here. And so there'll be people, even in the big cities, who have these unbelievable, unfair advantages all these years that are going to complain if something like that happened. This is unfair. Keisha should move it back to after Labor Day because we're starting after Labor Day. Why is Keisha starting practices August 17th or August 24th? This is a bunch of baloney. That's going to put us at a disadvantage. Poor woe me. Now, you're going to hear it. Mm. You'll hear it if it happens. And I think there's going to be enough pressure because that 19% of the student population with those big school districts in our state, Kansas City, Wichita, Topeka, whatever, they have a lot of pull. We know it. I mean, all you got to do, look at sports, 6A, 5A and versus 2A, 3A, 1A, whatever. Mm. There's a lot of power there. So I think there's going to probably be a middle ground that Keisha's going to do. And that's why I don't know why, but I've had stuck in my head August 24th.
Yeah.
And I could very well be wrong, and they might decide once I get these surveys back, and it looks like Tuesday at the latest, maybe Monday, Keisha's going to put together what day you can start practices, whether they're going to stick with what they got or they're going to delay it. But I would be, see if you agree, I would be very surprised, not shocked, very surprised if Keisha says no practices until after Labor Day. I would be very surprised by that.
Very.
I think August 24th is the date I have in my head, delay it 1 week. Now, how that affects the season, I don't know how they're going to do that. If they're going to say, hey, just move the whole season back a week and we go a week later until November, late November, even to the start of December, thinking we might not have winter sports anyway, or do you just go ahead and say, hey, you chop the first week off your season schedule and we play one less game? And I'm talking about football, but it applies to other sports as well. Obviously, with all the practice, it's not like, hey, football starts at 17, everybody else got to start later. No, all extracurricular activities.
Yeah, they won't have separate dates for separate sports. I mean, they'll start them all at the same time.
It'll be a set date, right.
And I'm in agreement with it. And if they start the 24th, I don't see any way where they won't just cut that first week because it's a week that doesn't – I mean, it means something, obviously, to get yourself acclimated to the season.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, it's that learning week for sure. And then you find out what you got. And then week two, you make those improvements. But, you know, week two will be the start of district play for some eight-man teams in this area. So it's easy to lop off that first game. But once you get past that – you're going to have to start really shifting things around. You only have one other non-district game in some of these eight-man schedules. So, if you know, there's a lot of that talk, you know, let's just play the district games. Well, that's all fine and good for the teams that don't start district till week five.
Right.
You know, and or week four, I guess, now with with the eight-game schedule. But it's not going to work for all the eight-man teams.
No.
So, yeah, I think you get that week. A week later to the 24th, and then you can still get all that in, even if you have to cut off the first game.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I would be sitting. And I know, like we talk about, there's other sports other than football.
Sure.
And that's why I put out the dates when I did. If if we would have started after Labor Day, when competition would have been able to start for all the sports.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you right now, football is going to drive a lot of the talk of when practice should start because they have the most time in between and they have to get the most practices in before they can actually start competition.
Right.
Volleyball is 11 days. You know, cross country is one day less than football just because that's the way the schedule goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then golf and tennis can start like 4 days after practice. They can start having competitions because it's not they're not sports that you have to build up all the exertion level and things like that to get to where you want to be. So football is going to drive a lot of this of how far we want to push this back.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't go much more than a week without really, really adjusting your schedule because I don't think they're going to make exceptions of when you can start the season. They're probably going to have the same amount of days in between. Yeah. They have to have the same amount of practices before you can actually get out there for your first game.
Right, and that's the key there. And that's why if you have two different dates or if a school district decides we want to start a week or two later with practices, that causes a problem.
Yeah.
That causes a big problem in regards to the scheduling. Unless you waive the amount of practices everybody has to have.
Because of
this year. And I don't see that because it's a safety thing. You want
everybody's all worried about safety.
Right.
And it can't just be safety because of coronavirus.
Right.
Because that's what we're worried about right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be the same safety that you're worried about every year with football.
Right.
And with other sports about getting yourself acclimated.
It might end up being something that we saw in Texas. Texas, 1 through 4A is starting on time. And 5 and 6A, the bigger cities in the urban area, the big cities with the big schools, and big school districts in Texas are starting a month later.
Yeah.
So they're just going to, their schedule's different. So now hopefully they all play each other. If they play a smaller team, then that's going to mess up their schedule. They'll have to ax it or whatever the case may be. But that's what Texas is doing. 1 through 4A is starting on time. 5 and 6A, because we know there's outbreaks in Texas, of course. Houston's in a hot spot. They're going to start about a month later. So maybe would that be something Kansas would entertain? I don't know.
Could entertain it. I don't see that happening.
I don't either.
But they could entertain it for sure. They could. I mean,
everything's
gotta look
on
at
the table.
All the options.
Everything's on the
There's
table.
No doubt.
Yeah. Everything's on the table, I think, except flipping seasons, which is I'm okay with not flipping them either. So maybe Monday or Tuesday we will have a little bit more closure as to what Keisha decides to do. And then, of course, the wild card after that is they can set all this up, and we can set this up, and then next thing you know, you know, the day before the season's supposed to start, everything gets canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what might happen or more outbreaks or whatever. The other thing about pushing things back sports-wise is you've got the flu season coming up. So shouldn't you try to get as much as you can in as early as you can before the weather turns to being cold? Although there was this theory that the hot weather would kill this thing, and obviously it doesn't.
No.
I mean, there are some people saying, listen, we got to get as much in as we can, so the earlier we can go, the earlier we can go. And that also applies to school. You know, there are people that say we should start after Labor Day. And there's others saying, listen, our kids have been out of school for going to be 5 months if we start in August. Maybe that's the thinking process with Concordia and others that are starting, still going to start in Newmall Central August 20th is, hey, you know what? Maybe it would be better to start after Labor Day, but we better just get as much in as we can.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start as soon as we can. And that, you know, I can't argue against that thinking.
No.
Unless you've got a big hotspot where you're
Well, yeah.
But I don't think Nemaw Central, Seneca has a huge hot spot. I haven't heard about it.
No.
Concordia, there was kind of a hot spot there for a while in Republic County and all that. But now that's died down or calmed down in quarantine.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's the thinking is, you know, instead of waiting after Labor Day, we're going to go as early as we can so we can get as much in as we can.
Mm-hmm.
There are some schools in Indiana that have already made a decision to go e-learning all year. They've already made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. No in-school learning. It's all e-learning. They've already decided. And I really, 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 really hope I'm wrong on this. But I do fear that we get down the line, and I think we may go back in hindsight, and all school administrators may look back and say, you know, we should have just did e-learning from the beginning and been done with it. Would have caused a lot less headaches, a lot less stress, a lot less confusion, even though I don't want my kids e-learning all year. I don't.
Yeah.
I really don't want that to happen. I only say that objectively is that, you know, people were criticized for not having the NCAA tournament right away. And when you look back in hindsight, that was absolutely the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing they didn't try to hee-haw and postpone it for 2 months, right?
Yeah.
They did the right thing. There's no question. Anybody argues they didn't do the right thing, then I can't talk to you. You're not being reasonable. They did the right thing. It might not be popular, but they did the right thing. And we may find out down the line that Indiana might have been the smartest one of all. I don't know if it's certain districts in Indiana or the whole state of Indiana. I don't know. This is what somebody told me. That those that are going all e-learning, in California going all e-learning?
I remember. Think so.
They probably will, at least initially. I think you may go back and look at this in hindsight and retrospect and say, hey, they had it right all along, and that's what we should have done. Like I said, I really, really pray I'm wrong on that because I want my kids in school. I don't want to see my wife stressed out. Okay?
No.
I mean, homeschooling, there's a reason. You know, people that homeschool, this doesn't affect you too much. You're already homeschooling. But you're people that aren't used to homeschooling, and you've got a job, and you got everyday responsibilities, and then on top of it, you got to get home, and then you're wiped from work, and that's what puts food on the table. Then you got to put food on the table, and then you got to spend time teaching your kids. There's a reason why I didn't sign up to be a teacher.
Yeah.
Because that's not my expertise.
And that's the thing is, like, I know the teachers are going to do a great job they have to do
They'll do the best they can with whatever they have.
But at the end of the day, if you don't have one-on-one in-person instruction, parents are still going to have to do some things.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And the parents are definitely going to have to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Which can be hard sometimes.
It's e-learning, you're not going to be able to say, hey, everybody's going to be in class at the normal time.
No.
Okay? It just
no.
isn't going to work out. I mean, it's the stress that puts on everybody involved. I mean, you've already seen what it can do with just even like a 9 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Of just the end of the spring semester.
Oh, there's...
And I don't think anybody really wants to do that at all. I mean, if you're forced to do it, you got to do what you got to do. But I don't have kids, but I'm a big proponent of they need to be
in school.
Learning in person if at all possible.
Amen to
I
that.
Mean, I couldn't even imagine... trying to do this e-learning stuff when I was in school. Of course, we didn't have the technology, but even if we did, just kind of advancing technology to when we were in school and just kind of thinking about how do you do that? Like, how do you keep up? How do you do the right things? How do you make sure everybody's in the right spot and not falling behind? And you can't. You can do as good of a job as you want to as a teacher, but not everybody's going to be in the same spot.
You can do these Zooms, and there's distractions every house while you're trying to do a Zoom to pay attention to the teacher, whereas when you got the kids in the one classroom, then the only distractions are usually hopefully controlled by the teacher.
Yeah.
And you got some situations where you got two working parents, and they work all day long, and then their oldest kids end up being the one that have to help with the youngest ones to do the e-learning. And then they let their stuff slide because they're trying. And then you got kids that are having to grow up sooner, which, you know, I really say kids need to enjoy their childhood as much as they can because it goes by fast as it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all, when we're younger, trust me, young people out there, you're like, oh, well, I can't wait to get out of high school. Or I can't wait to get to high school. I can't wait to get out of high school. I can't wait to be on my own. I can't wait till I drive. I can't wait till I get to college. I can't wait till I do this. I can't wait till I'm independent. Next thing you know, you're in real life and you got bills. You're like, dang,
yeah.
I had it pretty good.
Yeah.
I had it pretty good. Why was I in a hurry to do this? Trust me. Let's shift gears. Literally. NASCAR. They got gears, right?
Yeah.
NASCAR returned to Kansas last night, and Denny Hamlin, he's been a guy that finds a way to the winning circle quite often.
He says one of the biggest things he wants to do this year is be able to celebrate with his crew because he knows that's who's getting him up front, giving him fast cars. They've done it again. He's done it again. Kansas winner, Denny Hamlin.
Denny Hamlin on win number 5 this season.
We've had a rough 3 weeks, but, you know, we're leading to Indy when we blew a tire. So I tell you, this team's really hitting on all cylinders right now. You know, we can win any given week, and that's something that is really hard to come by. So this team's good at short tracks, intermediate, super speedway.
So Hamlin with the series-high 5th Cup win of the season. Thursday night at Kansas Speedway, that ended a 3-race stretch where Hamlin had finished outside the top 10. Brad Keselowski finished 2nd, followed by Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, and Eric Jones. This is the 2nd straight season for Hamlin to have at least 5 wins. He has won 3 of the last 8 races. William Byron holds what would be the final playoff spot after finishing 10th in Thursday's race. Tyler Reddick is the first driver outside a playoff spot, trailing Byron by 10 points. Reddick is followed by Eric Jones and 7-time Cup champion Jimmy Johnson in the point standings. All right, let's go to some team names. This is the fun part of the show. I've been excited about this. All right, the Washington... The Washington NFL football team, formerly known as the Redskins, their new name is
the Washington Football
Team. What? Dusty, I don't think you answered my question. I said, what is the new name for the Washington Football Team?
You just said it, the Washington Football Team. This is like
who's
that.
On first, yeah, what's on second, da da da. Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay.
Pete and repeat.
Yes. Washington Football Team. Now, LeBron James made fun of it, but in fairness to the Washington Football Team, this is a temporary name because they're trying to figure out what mascot they're going to use. They're hoping to keep the same team colors, and by the time you get through trademarks and copyright and this and that and whatever else and get approval, they don't have enough time. Can't do it.
18 days from when you decided
decided too late to change it, obviously, to do that right away. So when LeBron makes fun of it, I mean, that's not really fair, to be honest. And me making fun of it's not fair either.
Yeah.
Because they don't...
We're not making fun of it. We're having fun with it.
Exactly. That's the key right there because, you know, LeBron goes, that's the best they come up with. No, that's just what they're stuck with. Yeah. I mean, they've got other stuff that's better, I would hope, you know, clearly. Like the Washington... Red Hats or whatever they're talking about. I don't know.
Red Tails, Red Wolves.
It'll be someone.
Somebody said
color.
The other day they were talking about Sentinels, which would be kind of fun since it'd be a playoff of the Replacements.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen that movie.
Yeah, I actually saw a clip of it. It was on TV the other day, actually.
Yeah.
Now, this is what I'm really, really excited about. I have a new favorite NHL hockey team. I do. I've been available to be adopted by any NHL team. You know, I follow the Avalanche because my middle son likes to watch hockey, so the Avs are on my TV because regionally.
Mm-hmm.
I love the San Jose Shark color scheme. I kind of like the Vegas experience. A friend of mine went to Vegas and sent me a video I wish I was there. That was electric. But there's no hockey team in Kansas City. Oklahoma City doesn't have a professional hockey team. I mean, the closest one is Colorado Avalanche, where I go to see the Minnesota Wild, and I've never followed.
The St. Louis Blues,
which, I can't cheer for any team from St. Louis.
I can't bring myself to cheer for any team in Denver or St. Louis.
I can't do St. Louis. I can do Denver because Denver, they've got a hockey team and an NBA team. So I can cheer for the Nuggets, or I can cheer for the Avalanche. I can do the Denver thing, I can do that. But the St. Louis thing, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do the St. Louis thing. And now St. Louis people are telling us their barbecue is better than Kansas City. The St. Louis people have just really got to get out more and eat more often. Other stuff outside of St. Louis, although maybe they're in a lockdown quarantine situation, so
yeah.
Now they've been brainwashed to think that their barbecue is the greatest of all time. Whatever. So NHL has a new team. It's the Seattle Kraken.
Yes.
Kraken. K-R-A-K-E-N. Kraken. Krakenlicious good. Kraken. K-R-A-K-E-N. K-R-A-K-E-N. Seattle Kraken. That is the 32nd franchise in the National Hockey League. They'll play in the 2021-22 season. So not this upcoming season or whatever they're finishing in the next season. It'll be, what, 2 seasons away or something like that? Is that right?
It's next season.
It is like next season?
21-22.
Next fall.
Yeah.
So basically over a year from now.
Yeah.
Okay. So they unveiled their colors, their team jerseys.
Yeah, that would be basically two seasons.
Basically two seasons.
Thinking about it.
Yeah, because they still got to finish the one they got
now. I don't
now.
Even know what's going on.
I know, dude. It's confusing.
What year is it? It's 2020, but
oh,
what?
Don't, what, I know what year it is.
What comes after?
I'm sick of 2020.
What comes
Everybody
after
Everybody knows what year it is, Dusty.
It's basically what comes after this.
I just don't know what
date what I want to know.
Yes. Well, 2021 supposedly is coming after this, but it might be the end of the world as we know it. 2020, yeah, maybe the Kraken won't even play a game.
Yeah.
But the Kraken, Seattle Kraken, oh my gosh, I am so excited. I'm not a fan of anybody in Seattle. I mean, not personally. I don't know of anybody in Seattle. Yeah. I'm not saying I hate people from Seattle. But Seattle sports teams, like I like the Supersonics, and they went to the Thunder. So in essence, there's my connection. I'm a Thunder fan. So maybe yeah. I'm a Seattle fan. I didn't know it. I don't follow the Mariners. I'm not a big Seahawks fan. I respect both those organizations. I don't dislike them or anything like that. But the Seattle Kraken, man, I don't have an official hockey team. I mean, I got the Royals in baseball. I got the Chiefs in football. I've got the Thunder for the NBA because they're the closest NBA team, so I adopted them. You know, if Kansas City had one, that'd be my team. But when it comes, and Sporting KC is my soccer team. And Jason Derulo is my cornhole favorite player. I made that up. But or maybe he isn't. I don't know. He was a singer, I think.
Yeah.
So
maybe he's good at cornhole.
Why did Jason Derulo pop in my head? That's so, man, there's like a virus
That's
in my
random.
Head, obviously. That is very random. And if anybody knows who that is, I'm sorry for you. So, Seattle Kraken. Did you see the hype video that they put out a minute 16?
Yeah.
Dude, I want to go play hockey now. It was so kick butt. I mean, it was so awesome. You really do need. I love some of these hype videos. Like LSU's hype video before they played the national championship was outstanding.
Yeah.
And these are becoming more and more. Like the Chiefs have hype videos. There's more and more of these hype videos they're put on social media. They're usually a minute or 2 minutes long, and it just makes you want to run through a wall. It gives you goosebumps. There's adrenaline. I have adrenaline now, and I don't even play hockey. I've never played hockey, except in the driveway with my children, with about a $5 stick from wherever I bought it. So the Kraken is the new NHL franchise, and I am so excited about this. But here's the thing. I was like, what the heck is Kraken? Like, I've heard Release the Kraken. I've heard that before. And I was like, is that part of a Harry Potter movie? I have no idea. I've never watched the Harry Potter movies. I'm like, what is it, science fiction? So I had to do some homework. And I saw the scheme color, and I saw the hype video. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it ties into the Seattle heritage with the sea and the harbor and the hockey history that Seattle has, which I didn't realize it had a big Seattle hockey history, but apparently it does. Whatever. I'll buy it. So I was like, what's a Kraken? No. I'm not saying what's a Kraken, like hello, what's up. I'm saying what is a Kraken? It's a sea monster of gigantic size in Scandinavian folklore. I'm in. According to the Norse sagas, the Kraken dwells off the coast of Norway and Greenland and terrorizes nearby sailors. Authors over the years have postulated that the legend may have originated from sightings of giant squids that may grow to 40 to 50 feet in length. The sheer size and fearsome appearance attributed to the Kraken have made it a common ocean-dwelling monster to various fictional works. The Kraken has been the focus of many superstitious sailors passing the North Atlantic, and especially sailors from the Nordic. Dude, I'm so in. Like, I went to NHLShop.com to see if I could buy something with the, I like the logo. I love the colors. I really do like it. It's got an anchor. I mean, it's all sea-like.
You see the anchor has the space needle on top
yes,
of it, too.
Yes,
yes. It's a cool secondary
it is.
Logo.
And then the S, that's a serpent that they revealed it. It goes in between the S in a different color. And then the eye that pops up, the red eye. I love the red eye, dude. That's so cool. I wish that was a little bigger, actually, the red eye. And I am so in. I have never been ready for hockey in my life now. I mean, I am so in. I'm sold. You had me at the Kraken. You had me there, okay? And so it is a sea monster of mythical proportions. I'm all in. And so then I was like, well, where can I get some of this merchandise? I want to be the first one to buy this. I'm serious. I was getting all excited about this yesterday. And so there was a link to the Twitter account for the Kraken. And I went, and they've got like a few T-shirts and a few hoodies. They're a little too pricey for me. So that dampened my enthusiasm for a little bit. I'm like, surely they're going to come out with more stuff to where it'll be something more affordable. So ladies and gentlemen, if you ever see me out in public wearing a Seattle Kraken jersey or something like that, T-shirt, cap, I'm just warning you now, I'm going to wear it with pride. I'm going to stick my chest out, and I'm going to release the Kraken. Yeah, baby. So excited. The Olympics opening. Are you excited about the Kraken? You just don't seem to be excited.
I'm definitely not as excited as you are. I think it's unique. It's
is
a
unique.
Cool nickname.
It is cool. It's not the Tigers.
It does, like, I wouldn't understand that has anything to do with Seattle had I not heard the stories about it, you know, and what that actually means. I've heard, like you said, I've heard release the Kraken. I don't know if I've ever seen Clash of the Titans where that quote comes from, but you hear it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most popular movie quotes there ever was.
Yeah.
And so you hear it in the movie and everything like that, but I'm not all gung ho about it like you are, probably just ready to go get the release the Kraken shirt or something like that.
Who's your hockey team? Who's your NHL? You don't have one?
Hockey team. I've never tried.
On the Kraken bandwagon.
I've never tried to establish one. I kind of like. I didn't want to be that guy, but like the Vegas thing was really fun their first year when they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. So I was kind of pulling for them.
Yeah.
But I've never. And like I say, I can't do it locally because I don't want to cheer for teams in Denver and St. Louis. So.
Which is local, and it's like 400 miles away.
Yeah, exactly.
Longer.
Like
yeah.
closest to us anyway.
Yeah. Well,
I could maybe Minnesota Wild, but
whenever. Yeah, I can start up a Seattle Kraken fan club. I need, but in order to have a club, I need to get somebody.
I got
join
a couple
me.
Guys in our Jackson out at Colby was pretty excited about it, so maybe he can join.
Jackson?
Yeah, he can join your club
cool.
too.
Dude,
yeah.
I'm gonna DM him.
He's all about it. He loved it. I think he's probably about as excited about the name.
Yeah.
Maybe not being a fan, but the name and logo as you are. So talk to Jackson. He might join your club.
Awesome. I'm so excited. Finally, something positive happening in 2020. It's awesome. Okay, the Olympics would have had their opening ceremony in Tokyo. That would have been yesterday. The Olympics would have had the opening ceremony yesterday if everything had gone as planned. And the chairperson of the IOC or whatever, the Olympic Committee, I forgot the exact title, but they said yesterday in an interview that they said if everything stays the way it is now, there will be no Olympics next year. Which, how could you not disagree with that?
Yeah.
And finally, we end with this. I know, should have ended with the Kraken, but I can't. You know why? Because something else I'm really, really excited about. You know, when boxers retire, they don't retire. They just leave for a while.
Some for even longer.
Some for a very long time. You remember Mike Tyson?
Is that a real question? That's like me asking, what year is it?
You remember Mike Tyson? Evander Holyfield does.
Yeah.
So does his ear, or what was left of it. Anyway, Mike Tyson is going to return to the boxing ring, and he's going to fight Roy Jones Jr. in an 8-round exhibition fight for September 12th. By the way, Roy Jones was an unbelievable fighter as well, in his prime, obviously. Jones began his career as 154-pounder. He fought last in February of 2018. Roy Jones Jr. is 51, and Mike Tyson is 54. The last time he fought was 15 years ago, which doesn't seem like it's been that long, but 15 years ago, and Mike Tyson is coming back. He says, it is because I can do it, and I believe other people believe they can do it too. Just because we're 54 doesn't mean that we have to start a new career and our lives are totally over. Not when you feel as beautiful as I do, and I'm sure that other people feel the same way. I never took that many punches. Well, that's true. You just bit a guy's ear off, so you didn't have to fight. But actually, he knocked people out within 91 seconds, asked Michael Spinks. I never took that many punches. After the last fight I had, I left and I lived my life, and I've been through some experiences, and now I'm back here. I feel like I took better care of my body and my state of mind than most of the fighters before me that retired and came back. So there you go. It's going to be sanctioned by the California State Athletic Commission, the exhibition boxing match, Roy Jones Jr., Mike Tyson. Coming up on September the 12th, and it will air on pay-per-view as well as a social media platform Triller, which I've never even heard of. That tells you how unhip I am. So this is pretty exciting. Mike Tyson coming back in the boxing ring. And all I got to say, the only thing I really want to know about Mike Tyson is he still impregnable? That's all I want to know. Mike Tyson, I'm going to DM you as well. Are you still impregnable? I'm impregnable. I never will forget that line for the rest of my life. It's right up there with Release the Kraken. I'm impregnable. Okay, Mike.
A couple other ones that I wish I could forget that he said.
Oh, yeah. So, Mike Tyson. So, let me ask you this. Are you going to be interested in that boxing fight on September 12th? I'm not saying you're going to pay for it, but would you, if you could get to watch it for free, would you do it?
I might.
I think I would. I'd tune in. I mean, I'd like Roy Jones is one of my favorite boxers.
Yeah. I definitely will not. Pay any kind of money for it.
No.
But if somebody's got it on, no cover or don't want, they don't want help paying for it or whatever, I might go watch it or something.
Sweet.
I might find a certain link that I can click to watch it.
Finally, you know, really for me personally, there has been nothing that great about 2020 since the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. But today is the best day of 2020 since February 2nd. Release the Kraken, and Mike Tyson is fighting again. Oh, pinch me. I'm in heaven. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll be searching the Release the Kraken in Kraken merchandise shops all weekend long, and I'll let you know Monday whether or not I found something. And I'll also direct message Mike Tyson to find out if he's still impregnable.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.